Hey there, and welcome to Courageous Radiance Podcast. My name is Brittany Dixon, and I'm so thankful that you are tuning in, listening. I am grateful. I'm humble. Y'all, it has been like a month and some change, and I have missed recording. I have missed being here. I have not sent an email. There has been none of the things. It has been a time of family, of being present where my feet are. It's been pull away time, me and the Lord, realignment of all of that with Him. So that's been very good. Filling my cup, reestablishing rhythms, revamping, exposing, you know, not that I'm doing it, but allowing Him to expose me in areas that are hindering me. And so it's not like, this feels good. I get to just be exposed by the light of God. But y'all, it's like that burn that you get when you're working out. I've been doing Pilates lately and it's been kicking my tail, I promise you. Those clamshells, listen. Ooh. I mean, it's amazing that little movement can like destroy your whole hip. But in doing that, it burns, it hurts, but it feels good later. Or later you're like, ooh, okay, come on, clamshell. I got a little curve there, right? That was jiggly before. Or okay, this pants is coming up a little bit faster now. But this time away for me, this isn't prescriptive, but this is an encouragement. Because this is a podcast place of encouragement. It's a place for moms, for wives, women. I work outside my home and inside my home. So wherever you are in that sphere, I'm also a special needs mom. So I have a burdening for that as well. But this is a podcast place for women to be encouraged and equipped to live an anchored life. And our anchor, y'all, in Jesus is what sustains us, whether we're on the high points of life or we're, you know, just kind of meh, like monotonous type feeling, or we're low. We are in a pit and struggling. Either way, we thrive. So that is what this podcast is about. But this is also an opportunity to be honest with yourself, right? And to not try to shortcut, right? You can't circumvent growth. It takes time and it takes diligence and it takes consistency. None of that is comfortable. None of it is convenient. And all of it is costing. But y'all, can I tell you how amazing your spiritual maturity will be on the other side of it, right? And to God be the glory for that and for your growth and your transformation. So I am your sideline cheerleader. I always would write on the blog to really encourage you to get back to your closet with the Lord, get back to your still time. And you know, these rhythms that I have to establish for me personally, again, not prescriptive, but I really want to encourage you because listen, life gets busy. And when to drift is just to not do something, like just it's not like you have to decide I'm going to drift today. No, you just drift because you're not doing anything in opposition to it. So for me, I drift into self-reliance. I drift just full transparency. I drift into I got it, Lord. Look at me and how amazing my biceps are and holding my whole life together. Foolishness, right? And it's not anything I say out loud, but if you look at the threads of my life, it's like, ooh, yeah, let me get back. So anywho, long intro to say the Lord and I had some time together. What does that look like for you, for your rhythms? Is that every week? Is that every month? Get a rhythm, girl. Just get a rhythm. You need an anchor. So I wanted to talk about this life of faith in establishing our rhythms, right? It requires faith to say that you even need a rhythm, right? Because in faith, you're saying that you believe something that you don't see. Right. I think that is very powerful to say, Lord, you first, me second. And I think that the life of Abraham is what I wanted to read, is what really stood out to me in some of this quiet time. The Lord just, it was random. I mean, I wasn't even reading Genesis right now. So it's Genesis 21 and 22 specifically that I was reading. But just in this exposure of sin, of just the, again, the self-reliances, the no accountability, and skimming off on prayer time and putting things in front of my time with the Lord. And again, I think in your spiritual maturity, you will learn to listen to the voice of the Lord for you. And that is in alignment with the word. So it's not just some random thing that you've put together for you, but it will challenge you. And again, it will expose sin like no other. And for me, it was exposing some idols. And that's generally what happens for me, of which I myself am my own idol because I rely on myself. So question I had before I read here is thinking, here's some questions. Like, what have you worked so hard for? Do you dream? And are you living this dream? So, you know, are you working, trying to get this dream to come true? Or has it came true? And what are you now doing with this dream come true? What can you not live without? Another one is, if there's a fire, I love analogies, who or what are you sacrificing yourself to save? Are you going back in the house, the burning house, to go get that dog, your birth certificate, your child, just your journals, your book, right? What? A frying pan that was grandma's? Like, what are you gonna go save? And then imagine the Lord is asking, okay, great. Now can I have it? Just open, stop strong gripping, white gripping, open your hand. And daughter, I love you so much. Let me have it. Do you have the faith to trust the Lord with that? Those were some hard questions that I asked myself over this time. And unfortunately, I did not like my answers. They were not super spiritual or super holy, but they were honest. And that's far better because he knows it anyways. So then it's like, okay, good. Now that you know what I already know, let's get to work. Okay. So let's pray. And then I'm going to read in Genesis 22. Dear God, thank you so much for just this opportunity to be on this podcast, God. I thank you for the woman listening. I pray, God, that you just draw near to her in her day at this very moment, God. Whatever it is that she needs, you already knew the need before she needed it. And I just pray that, God, this is an opportunity for her to, I pray, hear you and not me. So more of you, none of me. And may it be all for your glory and for her growth and transformation to reflect you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I speak just volumes in my body language and in my face. So I can imagine the Lord asking me for whatever it is I'm holding at that time. And I was like, my first reaction. And then I feel like my second reaction, and then it'd be the whole time, what would my face look like? So if God was to say, hey, daughter, I love you. Can I have it? What's your first reaction? And then like, what's your cleanup second reaction? And then how is your face the whole time of it? And this is important because I think that in surface, we will say the Lord is number one. Yep, me and Jesus all day long. With, you know, not necessarily not lying to ourselves, just that's what we think. But I think of those John Ortberg structure, those faith conviction levels, and how the second level is this private faith. And he did an analogy to the life of Peter. And Peter went hard for Jesus, y'all, hard on hard, right? Exponential hard. And he, in all his hustler self, I swear he was from Detroit, in his mind, literally was like, Jesus, I got you. I will never leave you. And Jesus is like, Jogger, you're going to deny me like 3 times. So it didn't happen where the revelation didn't happen for Peter until the circumstance changed. So as we're assessing our faith, the depth of it, the circumstances in our life really aid in us doing that. So it's so important as we develop these rhythms, these almost like Sabbath rhythms, right? Whatever you want to call them, these rhythms on a daily, weekly, monthly, you know, quarterly, whatever basis that you do with the Lord. And it really will help God to expose things that you don't even know about you. So God knew Peter at a level that Peter didn't even know. So it's the same thing for us. We might feel that we are like 1,000% going to be all about Jesus until our circumstance changes. And when I think of those circumstances, those tests that God is doing, the pruning, the test, the pruning, it's not fun. Not fun. But it will draw us to a place to know God better as well as ourselves. But what is your comeback faith assessment? And where I'm getting that from is Genesis 22, verse 5. So just kind of setting this up, God called Abraham to go to this specific place. So here's what's so crazy, actually. And this actually, I actually want to back up to verse 2. So again, I was reading just randomly from Jesus, the 21st chapter, which led me into the 22nd chapter of Genesis. So in 21, you've got Isaac, Abraham and Sarah, who are like super, super old. They are like old on old and can't have a baby. And here comes Isaac, this miraculous, glorious opportunity that God showed off himself to Abraham. Like, I told you that you were going to have a child, and through that is going to be generations beyond you. And he didn't believe until it actually really happened. So he even circumvented, did his own plan through Hagar, because Sarah just thought that was a wonderful idea. And the Lord still gave him Isaac. And so his grace and his mercy still followed in spite of him messing up and sinning, right? But so then leads us into chapter 22, where now this child that you pretty much weren't even banking on anymore, you done moved on, ain't gonna happen. God is like, no, it's gonna happen. Here's this, you know, I'm telling you, this will come to pass. Then it comes to pass, this whole desire that you had always wanted. And then God is like, and now I want it. Thank you. Please and thanks. That's like verse 1, where he's like, I'm going to test Abraham. So then verse 2, take your son, he said, and this is Genesis 22, your only son, Isaac. I circled, underlined, highlighted, where it says, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So see, what's your first reaction? Like if you're Abraham, right? This is what I'm saying. If you think about yourself. So like my first reaction is, Lord, I wanted this child, but I was fine. I moved on. And now you give me this child and now you're asking for it back. Like I have like 31 questions. I respect Abraham so much that he didn't even ask one, like legitimately. At least I don't see one in scripture. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. So listen, he's like walking on, and Isaac is not like a baby. He's like a teenager going on this journey to go die. But verse five, it says, then Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Y'all, like, I don't know how I've read that. I'm sure I've heard sermons about it, but it didn't stick until I was here journaling it, H-E-A-R, journaling it, inductive Bible study method I use. And it just stuck out to me because God just told him to sacrifice his dream, his plan, all this, you know. And then it's like, okay, did you not believe that God was actually going to do it? Or did you just have enough comeback faith that you knew you were coming back with your son? Like, either way, it's faith, right? Either way, you knew God was going to like stop and prevent it. Or you knew that God was going to resurrect him. I mean, it had to be, because why? He just said, I'm going to go sacrifice my kid, right? And then it says, we'll, meaning him and Isaac, will come back to you. He's talking to his servants. We're going to come back. I was amazed and blown away. Maybe it's just me. And Isaac, this is where Isaac, I'm like, did you not have this question in any of the journey, the miles that you were walking before? Verse 7, then Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, my father. And then he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? If that is not a foreshadowing to Christ. But this verse 8, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. So not only did he have this comeback faith, now he's bestowing and modeling, right? Follow me, follow Jesus. He's modeling this for his son. Because I can tell you what, would my kids still follow along with me? I mean, it kind of led me to kind of have to question, like, do I have the faith to do that? And then would my kids have the faith on my faith, right? So then it just led me to just dig deeper into, Lord, you truly take the most valuable asset and ask us to let go of it. That's point number one for me. God will, the test that God has for you both now and seasons to come, this is a constant process until glory. The test will always be the most valuable asset. It's not going to be the thing that's like, I can do away with that. It's going to be, this was his desire. This is his one and my thing is, where's Sarah? Like, does she know that you took this child and you're going to sacrifice him? So can you imagine her reaction? Right? Y'all, the faith that requires to be able to open up your hand and say, God, I surrender it all. I'm going to sacrifice because I'm surrendered. I'm living surrendered. I'm living on fire for you. I'm living available for you. Whenever it is that you give it and whatever it is you take it, it's yours. Either way, it's yours. I didn't even have what it took at my 100-year self to even get this child here. So certainly you're going to provide for whatever it is for this child to come back with me, because God had already told him the descendants are going to come through Isaac, not Ishmael, which was a son through Hagar. Next and last point is, God's test is beyond your human logic. So if you're like me, you're an overthinker and a researcher and ask a 21 people or type person, y'all, that is such a hindrance when it is opposing what God is asking you to do. So I've been in this new rhythm, whether somebody comes to me and asks opinion or even for me myself, where it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what this other person thinks, even if they're my most loved person, whatever. What is God calling me to do? And that is hard to hear into grip and have clarity on sometime. So one of the things, the rules of thumbs that I kind of use for myself is, I'm not moving until I have clarity that God told me what to move on. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing until God gives me clarity. Now, that doesn't mean just doing nothing, right? Just the absence of doing it. It means I am praying and asking God for clarity. Like, God, I believe that this is what you're calling me to do. This is going to cost me a lot. This is going to be time, inconvenience, comfort, whatever it may be. And if I don't have clarity, I'm not moving on it, because I don't want to trust my human logic. I think about Moses in Exodus, I think it was 33, where he was like, you know, God, I ain't moving. Show me your glory. Like, I am not going anywhere without you going with me. So we don't want to trust and rely on us. We want to have complete and utter dependence on God, even if he's calling us to have a very high level of faith for something that we are like strong white gripping. I have found that there's sentences I will say to myself, like, man, I don't even know why I'm doing this. And it's almost like if you can say that, it's almost like, that's wonderful. That's great. That means you're probably already halfway there. That's probably what you're supposed to be doing when it like does not make sense to you. It doesn't align. Because I don't think it makes sense for God to test him. Like, couldn't he just ask Abraham, is Isaac more important? No, God wanted to test him. So I really pray that this encourages you on multiple levels. I really pray that this just leads you to your own quiet time frame where you can take any of those questions, and they will all be on the blog, CourageousRadiance.com. Just to kind of heart assess your, are there any idols? Is there, you know, what's clouding your heart and your mind right now? But then also just taking this time to really assess, are you in a test? Maybe you just came from a test, or you're either heading to a test. Either way, there's going to be some testing. There's going to be some pruning. There's going to be growth, because there's no transformation without some level of destruction of whatever it was where you came from. And destruction meaning, like, in my mind, I think from a medical standpoint. So in my mind, I'm thinking of, if I'm going to build up muscle, there's going to be some destruction to some of the fibers of those muscles at a microscopic level, right? So at a microscopic level, it looks like there's shearing and there's tearing, but then there's actually a rebuilding of this new fiber that's stronger and better. And that only happened because there was death to something. So there's a death to self, metaphorically speaking, please. But there's a self-denial that Mark 8, 34 through 35, that Jesus calls us to, that we are to deny ourselves and to follow him. And that's hard to pick up our crosses. It's hard. It's not even just hard to pick up your cross. That is very, very hard. But it's hard to even just say no to you. It's hard to deny yourself and to deny the things that you want, especially when it doesn't look on appearance like there's anything wrong with it. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with me wanting to be a good mom, or anything wrong with me wanting to be a good wife. But can I tell you transparently, vulnerably, I guess that'd be more, that there were seasons where my children, and it's something that I actually still have to actively work to not do now, because that burning question that I asked at the beginning, if there's a fire, what are you going to sacrifice? I'm going in for my kids. And so there was a season where my marriage goes in waves of an idol, y'all. And clearly God made marriage, right? God gave me these kids like God giving Isaac to Abraham, but they're never meant to be greater than the one who created or gave it. I think about Deuteronomy 30, where God mentions that. Actually, I want to turn to that as we just finish here. It's just so good, because God is constantly giving us this choice of death or life. It's in the power of our choice that we get to choose that. Deuteronomy 30, it says here in verse 15, "See, today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land you are entering to possess." And going down to verse 20, "Love the Lord your God." There we go again, right? "Obey him. Remain faithful to him, for he is your life, and he will prolong your days as you live in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Friend, I really pray that this encourages you to get to this regular rhythm, this daily time with the Lord, and then some rhythms on a greater, grander scale. And at the heart of all of it is that it just attunes your ear to hearing the voice of God. And through that, as he just said there in verse 20, he is your life. So God is your life. He is your sustenance. He is your everything. So you can open your hand. It's hard. I get it. It's hard. But friend, what if you'll actually find your life and find something greater in doing that? I pray this has encouraged you. Thanks for tuning in. And I hope to see you on the blog and connect with you. CourageousRadiance.com.